Boker Tov, welcome back to another in our ongoing series of Shiurim Daf Yomi. We are now in Ketubot Daf Mem Zayin Amud Bet, and completing our analysis of Mishnah Dalad, which is on Mem Vav Amud Bet, and details the rights and responsibilities of a father towards his daughter, and what he gets from his daughter, and contrasting them with the rights and responsibilities of a husband towards his wife. We are now in the second half of the Mishnah dealing with the husband, and we are now at the piece that talks about his obligation to feed her. Chayav mizonoteha. Tana Rabbanan. Tignu mizonoteha tachan maseya deha. According to this Tana, the obligation for a husband to feed his wife is Rabbanan, and it was established by the Rabbanan quid pro quo for the fact that he gets her wages. Ukvarata tachak ktubata, and his obligation to bury her if she predeceases him is in place of the fact that he's getting the ketubah, and lefichach ba'al ochel perot. As a result of that, the husband gets to eat perot. Now, perot aren't mentioned at all here, and there's clearly something missing, so the Gemara immediately addresses this bright and says, perot mandach harshmaya, who mentioned perot at all, that you're saying, and therefore the husband eats perot? So the answer is that indeed it's missing. Chasur mechsor v'achiktan, and this is how it should read, tignu mizonoteha tachan maseya deha, that we already said, ufirkuna tacha perot, that was missing. The obligation of a husband to redeem his wife, if she's captured, is in place of the fact that he gets to eat perot of her nichse malog. Ukvarata tacha ketubata, lefichach ba'al ochel perot. So now perot are mentioned, but the connection, it's still a non sequitur. Therefore, the husband eats perot during her life. My lefichach, what does that mean? So, I might think that the husband should not have rights to the perot of her nichse malog. It's her property, after all. Perot, of course, means any benefit. And that they should rather, lo nechlinu, anuchin anchinu, let them sit there. And, de'imkein mimna velo parik. The reason we don't do that is because maybe he will say, I'm not going to redeem her. Kamash palan dahadifa. So it's actually better for him. Why? De'zimnin de'lamalu farik lamididei. Sometimes she will not have enough money in her trust fund to redeem herself, and therefore for the perot, and therefore he will redeem her, and it will end up costing him more. So really, it's a gamble. On the one hand, she's likely never to be captured, and he gets to eat perot and doesn't have to pay anything out from that. On the other hand, if she is captured, it could be that the ransom will be far more than the perot, and so that's a chance that he's willing to take, and therefore the Chacham established it to make sure that she will never end up languishing in captivity if there's a way to ransom her. Now, the Epochana, why am I having perot for pirkun and mizonot for wages? The answer is, they simply established that which is frequent as a responsibility, like feeding her, quid pro quo for that which is frequent as a right, which is maaseh adayim, which she brings in every week or however often, and the infrequent things in place of the infrequent things. Now, Amar Rava, Rava points out that the opinion here differs with the following. Haitana sarah mizonot midoraita. The following Tana disagrees and maintains that the obligation of mizonot is really midoraita. And the key pasuk in this whole picture is pasuk number one on the page, which is, like many things in the Torah, a central obligation that is taught in an incidental manner, such as all the dinim of Kiddushin and Gittin are taught incidentally along the way of telling us the Isser Machzir Grushato. In the same way, the obligations of man to his wife are taught in the context of the obligations that a man has towards his Amaha Ivriya if he chooses to marry her. And if he takes her as a second wife, he still cannot decrease his attention to these obligations. And if he decides not to, then he has to let her go free. And what are they? Sheirak, Suta, Ve'onata, Lo Yigra. Now, this Tana believes that Sheira means Mizonot. Elu Mizonot. V'chein hu omer, and he brings a pasuk from Micha, v'asher achlu sha'arami, that which the rest of my nation, or the remnant of my nation, ate. So the association of eating with sha'ar, so sha'ar could refer to eating. And therefore it says, you cannot deplete her sha'ar, that means her food allowance. Ksuta, what's her ksuta? That's easy. Kamashmo, or clothing. Onata, or her ona, which means her season. What does that mean? Zu onaha amuraba Torah. This refers to conjugal relations. When we talk about onaha amuraba Torah, that's something we're going to get to later on in the sixth parak, fifth or sixth parak, which will detail depending on your livelihood, how often your obligation of onah is. V'chein hu omer im ta'aneh et b'notai. So there's an allusion to this. Even though the word onah means set time, and the verb le'anot means to oppress, when Lavan says to Yaakov, when they're separating, he makes him take a, he warns him that he should not le'anot et b'notai, to oppress my daughters. What does that mean? Well, he adds to that, im tikach nashim al b'notai, if you marry other women. So clearly it has something to do with sexual attention. And so the verb la'anot is associated with that. Now, Rabbi Lazar, so this, the Tanakhama of this Braita says that mizonot, ksut, and ona are da'oraita, from she'er, ksut, and ona, respectively. Rabbi Lazar Omer, he agrees, but he gets it from a different place. He agrees that all three are da'oraita. She'era zu ona, he says she'er actually refers to conjugal relations. V'chein hu Omer, ish ish akol she'er besaro, lo tikrivu ligalot erva. A man is not allowed to come close to his kin, to engage in relations, and that is called she'er besaro, that which is of the same flesh. So therefore, it's a sexual connotation. Ksuta kemashmo, again, ksut means clothing. Onata, what's onata? Elu mizonot. So he flips it. How does onata mean mizonot? V'chein hu omer, v'yancha v'yarivecha. In Parshat Ekev, at the beginning, when Moshe reminds Bnei Yisrael of what they went through in the Midbar, and he says, if you remember, God afflicted you and made you hungry and then fed you man, so the affliction there is affliction related to hunger. And therefore, onah means to feed in the right time and not to delay her food and to give her the food payment. So both Tanaim agree that food, clothing, and conjugal relations are chiyuvim da'oraita, unlike the first Tana that was brought, who said that mizonot was established by the Rabbanan in kind for Maaseh Adayim. And now we have two other approaches at looking at that pasuk, one of which explicitly reads all three of them as being about one thing, and the other one is a little unclear. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, She'era Ksuta. What does She'era Ksuta mean? L'fum She'era in Ksuta. She'er means body, meaning the clothing that you give her has to fit her body. Sh'leitein la lo shal li'alda l'zkena, v'lo shal zkena li'alda. You can't give an older woman little girl's clothes and vice versa. They have to be fit, they have to be appropriate clothes, which means ksut is really the obligation, and she'er helps to define it, meaning you have to give her ksut that fits her she'er, her body, and ksutava onata. He reads it the other way also. Ksutava onata, meaning lefum onata in ten ksuta. You have to give her proper clothes for the season. Shaleiten chadashim imot hachama, you shouldn't give her new clothes in the summer when it's going to be too hot. Velo shchakim imot hachshamim, and not worn out clothes in the winter when you need warmer clothes and newer clothes to protect you against the rain and against the cold. So in other words, he reads that the entire pasuk is an obligation of ksut, and she'er and onah help define the right size and the right season. Now, Tani Rav Yosef seems to flip it. She'era zukir basar. He says she'er is really modifying ona. And that is to say, not only do you have an obligation of conjugal relations, but you also have an obligation to engage in conjugal relations, flesh against flesh. Why would that even be an issue? Shaloin hagba min hag parsim. You're not allowed to behave with her as the parsim do. And these are clearly parsim who are not Jewish, that they refuse to take off their clothes when they have relations. You're not allowed to do that. And Masailo Ravuna, this supports Ravuna, Dam Ravuna, Homer Efshi Ela Aniba Vigdi, Vahiba Vigda, the only way, if a man says the only way I can engage in relations with my wife is if we're both clothed, then Yotzivi Tang Tuba, we can force him to divorce and to give a ktuba. That is not the way that a couple should live together, and therefore she should enjoy the closeness of his flesh. And that is part of the mitzvah of ona. So in other words, Rav Yosef certainly reads she'er as modifying ona. The problem is, what does Rav Yosef do with ksut? He doesn't say anything. For that, we turn to the Ramban's commentary on the Chumash on this pasuk. It's actually on the pasuk before. And I put it on top of the page, and the Ramban seems to read that the entire pasuk is about ona, that she'er is kiruv basar, and ksut refers to nice bed sheets and bed clothes to enhance the romantic experience, and onah is the act itself. Read the Ramban, it's a beautiful Ramban. Okay, in any case, at the end of our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda commented that the burial, as we said, is tachat ketubah. Rabbi Yehuda added on that you must, at minimum, give her two chalilim, two people playing this chalil, and a mekonenet, a dirge singer. Now, michlal d'tanakama sabra hanilo, obviously Tanakhama must believe that you don't even have to provide that. Hechidami, so what's the case? Id Urcha, if that's the normal custom, so my Tanakhama Namalo, why would the Tanakhama say that a man's allowed to treat his wife with less than the common custom and the common honor given at a funeral? If it's not the normal way, my time at Rabbi Yehuda, why would Rabbi Yehuda say you do have to? How can Rabbi Yehuda set some sort of a standard and say everybody must meet the standard even if it's not the normal custom? So lo tzricha gondo orche didei v'lav orcha dida. It's his way and not her way. Meaning, in his family, he comes from a richer family and all the people who are buried with some sort of a ceremonial, not ostentatious, but ceremonial effect. And her family that's poor, they don't have such a thing. Now, this cuts to the following issue, which is going to come up in a second. When a woman marries a man, the halacha is that she cannot drag him down. In other words, she moves up with him, but she doesn't move down with him. Meaning, if her family standard is X, and his family standard is a higher standard, a higher class, that she moves up into that class. But if it's a lower class, she does not move down, and he has to make sure to provide for her as she was accustomed. So now, how far does that carry? Tanakama Sara Kamrin Ola Imove Nayuaditimo. When do we say that she goes up with him but does not go down if he's a lower class? Hanimin Lechaim, that's only while she's alive. Avalachamita lo. But after she's dead, there is no such concern. And therefore, if it is not her way to do this, but it is his way to have these chalalim, he doesn't have to provide it for her, because after all, she was elevated to his stature while she was alive, but afterwards, he doesn't have to provide for her more than her family normally would have provided, normally where she came from. For Bihura Savar Filo Achamita, Bihura holds that when a woman marries a man, she is elevated to his class even after death, and therefore, since it's his family's custom to have this extra piece at the funeral, he has to provide that for her as well. All right, Amar Rav Chista, Amar Ukva, Alachak Rabbi Yehuda. And now the next point is, only there because Rav Chista is quoting Mar Ukva in Halacha about Chiyuvei Ketubah. Rav Chista, Mar Ukva, Mishin Ishtatev, person lost his mind. What happens? How does his family get supported? Beit Din Yordin Chasav, the Beit Din sees his property. V'zanin Farnasina Et Ishto, Uvanav Notav, V'davar Acher. They end up feeding and taking care of his wife and his sons and his daughters and something else. We'll see what that something else is in a minute. Amar Rav Avinu Rav Ashi, Maishna Mehadetanya Mishalach Mdinat Hayam Ishto Tovah Mezonot. How is that any different than the following brayta? A man who goes away on a journey and he's left his family and his family doesn't have any money and his wife comes to the Beit Din and says, I need Mezonot. Beit Din Yordin Al Chasav Zanin Farnasin Ta Ishto. The Beit Din sees his property and they feed his wife. But not his sons or his daughters or this davar acher, whatever it is. So how come in this case, when the guy's lost his mind, Beit Din takes care of everything, and when the guy has simply gone away on a journey, they only take care of the wife? Don't you obviously distinguish between somebody who left voluntarily, like the man who went on a journey, and somebody who left because he was coerced, because he lost his mind, in which case we have to take care of everybody? Now, parenthetically, my davar acher, what's the davar acher mentioned here that they do not provide for in case of a journey? That refers to jewelry. Av Yosef amar tztaka, that's tztaka to give out to others. Now, man amar tachshit, so according to Rav Chista, kol shekein tztaka. He'll say, if we're not going to go onto the property and seize it to give the wife jewelry, we're certainly not going to go and seize it to give out tztaka. But Rav Yosef, who said it's staka, will say, but nonetheless, we do, Beit Din will seize property in order to give her tachshitim. Why? Because the husband evidently got stuck overseas, couldn't get back. He would not want his wife to be degraded and to be without proper jewelry, so he would certainly want them to take some of his property and sell it so that they could give her proper jewelry. So the parallel case, so on a trip, meta ishto, and his wife died while he was gone. Beitin goes down and seizes some of his property, and then they use that property to pay for a proper funeral following his standard of kavod. Well, the fikvodo below the fikvoda, only following his standard. What about her standard? What if it's higher? Ema af the fikvodo. It means also his standard, which means whichever standard is higher, that's how they'll bury, whether his or hers. So Hakamashlan, why is it there? Ola imo v'ner yuradit imo afil achamita. That supports the position that we earlier ascribed to Rabbi Yehuda, which is that when she marries him, she joins his class, she does not go down. If he's in a lower class, she retains her class. But she moves up to his class, and that follows even Lacharmita. And therefore, if the fellow is away, Beitin seizes property and pay for a funeral, which will reach the standard, the higher standard of the two of them. If a guy says, if wife dies, in other words, if I die first, but if wife dies, I don't want you to use my estate to pay for the burial. Shominlo, then we obey that wish. The guy's on his deathbed, and he says, look, she's going to die in a few years. When she dies, let her family take care of it. Maishna ki amar, who cares if he says it? Zenaf the nichse kamiyatmi. Why? Because the property, when he dies, goes to his yitomim. So ki lo amar, even if he doesn't say it, nami nichse kamiyatmi amu. Either way, the nechasim come to the kid. In other words, we're not saying that this is wrong, we're saying that it's unnecessary. He doesn't have to say anything. Because when he dies, he's not in control anymore. And his kids inherited the property. And if they choose not to bury their father's widow when she dies, that's their right. So he doesn't have to say it. So what was the halacha Rav Matna said? Al ha'omrei meitu lo tikbruhu min chasav. He said, when I die, don't use my estate to bury me. And shomim lo, we don't listen to him. Why not? He doesn't have the right to make his estate wealthier and make his kids richer so that, and excuse them from paying for his funeral and at the same time causing the community to have to take care of him. Good. Okay, Baruch Hashem, we have completed to this next Mishnah, and we'll pick it up on the Mishnah on Daf Mem Chet Amud Aleph in the next podcast and complete to Mem Tet. Everybody have a wonderful day.